Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing.
Oh.
From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate, Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
There is so many things that we need to get to with Nate Taylor. The two major stories to me with Kansas City are related to Josh Simmons and also related to Rashee Rice. Here is what Nate Taylor said earlier in the week about Josh Simmons.
I do believe it's a family matter. I do believe, Josh Simmons is back in like the Southern California, San Diego area, which is, you know, his hometown. I had the responsibility yesterday not to ask Andy Reid, because I've done that already, but to really ask Patrick Mahomes, like, hey, man, have you talked to this guy? Patrick was very honest on Sunday saying he didn't know where Josh was and that, you know, it's not every day the starting quarterback has to go to the coaching staff and say, where's the left tackle? And the coaching staff really doesn't have the best answer for your franchise quarterback. So when Patrick Mahomes said yesterday that he's praying for Josh Simmons, I think we all need to take that cue from the quarterback, and, you know, I'm fearful, I guess, is probably the best way I can explain what I've heard.
That was Nate Taylor a couple of days ago in relation to Josh Simmons. He's sitting down right now. We'll get his thoughts on this coming up in just a bit. So I would say that's story number one for the Chiefs. Where's their left tackle? The other A story when it comes to the Chiefs is Rashee Rice. He is back. He is back for the first time since September of last year. Rashee Rice was asked about how excited he is to get back on the field. Here's what he said.
I've been looking forward to this probably for, I think it's been like 380 something days. I haven't played a regular season game. And despite the regular season, we still have a whole offseason before that where we were training super hard to get ready for that prior season. So, I mean, it's been a long time coming and the time's finally here.
Let's welcome to the show right now Nate Taylor with ESPN joining us on the show today. You know what? You've talked a lot about Josh Simmons. We certainly will get to that here coming up in a bit, but let's talk about Rashee Rice. We had Mitch Holthus on the show on Monday. I asked him how important it was, what this meant for the Chiefs that he was coming back,
mm-hmm.
and he said this is like adding Deebo Samuel to the offense. So very big praise for when at his absolute peak, we're talking about a guy that could catch for 1,200, 1,300 yards and can run for 600 if you needed him to. You're around this team. You know this offense as well as anybody. How impactful, how important is it to have Rashee Rice back?
Yeah, Deebo Samuel is an interesting comp. I would say more in the lines of Puka Nacua, where I feel great every third down because he's on the field. I feel great every first down because we can get into a favorable second down. Hell, he might even get 10 yards on this play if it's first and 10 and we get the right look. So no matter how you slice it, I think it's interesting that, like, I think Deebo Samuel comes into mind because of the behind the line of scrimmage work, right? Last year, they got so good at being like, hey, is that off zone coverage? Great. We're throwing the ball to him in less than a second because we had one of the strongest arm quarterbacks, and that guy is going to break the first tackle. It's amazing when you know, and I think that's where the Deebo Samuel comp comes into mind. The more I think about it, it's like when Deebo Samuel is at his best, he's always making the first guy miss, no matter where he catches the football. If it's behind the line of scrimmage, short, intermediate area, if there's a defender nearby, that guy is going to have a real trouble trying to tackle him. That'll be one of the big tests in Sunday's game against the Raiders is how often does Rashee Rice not only get the ball and not only how much is he on the field, which my guess would be a little bit over half the snaps. All right, well, when he has the ball in his hand, does he make that first guy miss? Does he add the level of yards after the catch that made him arguably one of the best receivers in the league last season before his injury? So if that continues, yeah, there's a Deebo Samuel element to it. But I just think because they have so many weapons around him now, it's the same thing Matthew Stafford says. I mean, I could throw it to Davante Adams, but Puka Nacua's right over there, and he's awesome. So I get the sense that, hey, I might have Xavier Worthy. I might have Tyquan Thornton. They might even dictate the coverages. I love Travis Kelce, but, like, I mean, that guy is – I mean, this guy, Rashee Rice, is healthy, athletic, in the prime of his career, one could argue, has plenty of motivation to play well immediately because of his own contract situation based on the predicament he put himself in. So I think that's one of the reasons why he has a chance to really push this offense to even something that was beyond the version we saw in 2022. And now we're talking like 2020, 2019 version of the offense if everything goes well and everyone stays healthy around Rashee Rice.
Where would you rank Rashee? This was a debate that we had on the show a couple of days ago. So to give you a little backstory, I don't know if you were listening to it. I said that the Chiefs were getting back a top 25, top 30 wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Text line went crazy. He's a top 10. Somebody said he's top 5. We were then going
top
through the guys.
Top 5?
And this was my argument. I said there were 8 guys that I'm not even willing to even entertain the possibility these guys are better wide receivers than Rashee Rice. But I feel like Rice is in a category where, let's say that you think Rice is the 11th best receiver in the league. I also could make an argument that he's 25th because there's just so many good wide receivers in the National Football League.
Right.
So like a guy like Smith for the Eagles, Devontae Smith, what do I do with him? I think Devontae Smith is better than Rashee Rice, but if you put Rice ahead of him, I can't say that you're wrong if you end up doing that. Jaylen Waddle, like I think once you get to that tier 2 and tier 3 of wide receivers, I think we're talking about 15 to 20 just very talented players. Where would you kind of have Rashee Rice rank?
I love this. I love every part of this because you, sir, sound knowledgeable and logical. I know some people on the text line who have seen the highlights, because Rashee Rice already has a pretty nice mixtape, but consistency, doing it every down. He did do more than what was asked of him, more than even what the Chiefs thought he was going to do his rookie season. So if you're someone with the rose-colored glasses, you're thinking, man, just give me another full season, or just give me the rest of this season, fully healthy, fully in his role. He's only going to be better than he was in 2023. And guys, he was excellent as a rookie. I understand that. He's not Puka Nacua, guys. Like, we have to see it. That's why this game is so fun, so fascinating. It's like, yes, Devontae Smith, guys, did he win the Heisman? Remind people. He won the Heisman. He's really, really good. The only reason why he's not the number one receiver in Philadelphia is because this guy named A.J. Brown, who's even better.
And I also think, at least for me, when it comes to the rankings, like, I can't discredit the fact that Devontae Smith has been a healthy player and a productive player.
Correct.
Immediately in Philadelphia, where, sure, he's not their number one that you alluded to. But, I mean, I've seen him have a 95-catch, 1,200-yard season, followed up with 80 catches, 1,100 yards. Like, I've seen Devontae Smith do these things. With Rashee Rice, he didn't have 1,000 yards in his first season. He got hurt in his second season and then was suspended heading into year 3. Like, at this point, we are talking about that Rashee Rice has missed more games potentially than he actually has played in games so far in his career. So I just don't really know how to rank him compared to guys who have been doing it year in, year out for the last 3 to 5 seasons.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, guys, you guys are, I understand, we're in Kansas City, you know, we are serving our audience, our hometown. Devontae Smith is better than you guys think. You want to know why I can say that, guys? because we all know who we watch and play quarterback for them. Sometimes he has really good games. Sometimes he looks the way he's looked the last 2 weeks. Can you imagine if Devontae Smith had Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Like, come on. Like, I know the text line here says, like, you know, Matt Leinart also won the Heisman. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about, like, going into the league with certain level of skills. And again, to your point, Carrington, being productive, being someone that you could expect, that you could rely on, and cooked multiple times Jalen Watson in the Super Bowl. Jalen Watson has not really been cooked this year outside of the one time in Jacksonville. Think about that. And by the way, we all agree that Jalen Watson is not as good as Trent McDuffie. So when they put their quote-unquote number two receiver on your quote-unquote number two corner, that was advantage Eagles all day when both of them were healthy with 2 weeks to prepare in the biggest game that this sport offers. Come on, guys. Like, let's take a deep breath. All right, exhale. Let's see what Rashid does in the Bills game. Everything that matters Sunday is in advance for the showdown in Buffalo once again, which I believe will largely dictate. I know there's the Colts and the Jags and God knows whoever else. I mean, we saw Pittsburgh lose last night. They could have been in the mix as well, or they can still be in the mix. But everything Rashee Rice does on Sunday is leading towards November 2nd, biggest game of the year to that point in the AFC, Chiefs at Bills. How does he do in that game? Because that is the first indicator as to who might have not only the tiebreaker, but the inside track to win the one seed, because the AFC is so much in this topsy-turvy manner right now. We'll see what happens again with Colts, Chargers. But for Rashee Rice, like, get him up to speed these next two games so that he can really offer against a quality opponent that we all know is going to be there in January.
I want to move on from the Devontae Smith thing, because I'm looking at the text line and the disrespect for Devontae Smith.
It's wild.
One person just said he was a good college player, but he's been average. I pray the Chiefs find an average receiver who over the last four seasons has averaged 83 catches, 1,100 yards, and 7 touchdowns a season.
And doesn't have a good quarterback.
Yeah, I hope that they find like an average receiver like that.
Like, has a maybe Pro Bowl caliber quarterback when he's right, when he's well protected, when he has a good running game. Like, everything was in place for Jalen Hurts last year. Guys, they had a Super Bowl roster last year, and Devontae Adams again was awesome. Or not Devontae Adams, Devontae Smith was awesome in the Super Bowl. What are we talking about, guys?
I actually was thinking this. I just wrote this down. I would love to, like, go back and, like, go through all the stories that you've written to see the very first story that you wrote about the possibility of their big three at wide receiver. Oh. And having Rice, Worthy, and Brown.
Yeah.
And think about it. Like, when you wrote this, if I had told you, I can look into the future and show you that their first game together won't happen until October 19th of 2025. You'd have looked at me like I was crazy. Yes. If I had told you that. Like, we have been talking about these three playing together for, honestly, 20 months now.
20 years.
Months we have been talking about this. And finally, on Sunday at noon, there is going to be a time where on the field, it is Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, yes, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the exact,
yes,
same time.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, that was why draft night 2 years ago was so wild to me, was that you said, okay, well, they have Rashee Rice coming off an incredible rookie season, right? Helped you win the Super Bowl. Amazing. As a second-round pick. Okay, well, they got Hollywood Brown, who, if he stays healthy, fits this offense pretty seamlessly. And he's got a very good relationship with Patrick Mahomes already, which is one of the reasons why you were able to attract him to Kansas City. And then on draft night, you're telling me they get the fastest guy to pair with one of the strongest armed quarterbacks when all the Chiefs have been trying to do for 2 years is, like, get just something out of the deep ball portion of their offense. You just drop him in too. And again, it wasn't like, hey, this is the next Tyreek Hill. It's like, no, but the comparison that was right at the time, and it seemed to mostly hold to true, is like, this is DeSean Jackson. This is a DeSean Jackson level player who's tougher than you think, but has so much speed that it's going to open up everything. And oh, by the way, Travis Kelce's still in the mix. Like, I couldn't believe that the Buffalo Bills were the team that was like, yeah, we'll trade with you, knowing that Xavier Worthy was still on the board, knowing that he was exactly the player the Chiefs were looking at for that range of player at that point in the draft, once all the left tackle options had sort of gone off the board. So That's the first day I wrote about it, Carrington. It was draft night when you said, oh my goodness, the offense now makes so much sense. And this is before you would know about Isaiah Pacheco's injury and the fact that, like, you thought he was going to get better over the course of his rookie contract. Now he's had some dips. He's had a funk. He's maybe slowly starting to come out of it. So, again, we'll see. But it's like every skill position player made sense. And we haven't seen it until the first time we will see it. Even with Isaiah Pacheco, as, again, you're still your starting running back, we won't see it until Sunday. I mean, just, ladies and gentlemen, I just put my, I'm just shaking my head.
It's been a long time coming.
I've wasted so much ink on this idea. Yeah.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Let's talk about Josh Simmons here. I guess these are my two main thoughts when it comes to Josh Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have left a blank, which then just causes human beings to try to fill in the blank and try to figure out what it is. Like, I don't want to play rumor of the day and what people are hearing with Josh Simmons. I think that's just that's a dishonest conversation and not a safe conversation to have when it comes to it. But I think the Chiefs in some way, by just leaving it so ambiguous when it first came out, has just led people to have their own theories when it came to it. And the second part, at least for me, is I just don't know why the Chiefs just didn't put this fire out at the very, very beginning. This could have been a non-story this week if Drew Rosenhaus, Andy Reid, and Josh Simmons had all equally released a statement. That's all they ever had to do was release a statement. Josh is away from the team right now dealing with a close personal family matter. The team is on board with this. We are doing everything we can to support him. When we have an update, we'll let you know.
Yep.
I don't know why all three parties just didn't agree to do that from the very, very beginning. I'm not making it seem like it's some wildfire that's out of control, but it was a talking point on Wednesday and Thursday that it didn't need to be, that they could have eliminated on Monday morning.
My best explanation as to why that didn't happen, which makes complete sense to me, Carrington, is they weren't talking. That they weren't communicating the way that they either intended or the way that you would want. And so because there's so much mystery around Josh Simmons, how do we communicate publicly in a way that we should? And that's the trick bag of this, man. Like, Drew Rosenhaus didn't know what was going on with his client for longer than the agent would like to know. And again, this is Drew Rosenhaus, ladies and gentlemen, one of the super duper premier agents in the league, been doing this for quite some time, right? By the way, I want to also tell you that one of his other clients is Tyreek Hill. So just keep that in perspective.
He also was Antonio Brown's agent at one point. So if there's anybody
he was also Terrell Owens' agent.
Yeah, there's anybody that knows how to deal with a crisis, it's Drew Rosenhaus.
So that's been actually probably the more surprising element of this, is that Drew Rosenhaus is trying to understand everything that's going on with Josh. So therefore, he has chosen to not really say anything publicly or even behind closed doors that's not involving very, very high-ranking officials with the Chiefs. And people can basically allude to who that is. When it comes to Andy Reid, you got to say something, man. And so it took us 5 days, Carrington. It took us earlier today for Andy Reid to say something that was actually accurate. He didn't want to say it, but maybe he meant to say personal, but he said family situation. And that, based on our even text, seems to be the most accurate thing that the team can say right now, that it's a family situation. And sure, that includes some level of personal part of it. And that he still doesn't have a timetable as to when Josh is going to rejoin the team. You know, I know people have asked me via Twitter or just, you know, in passing, like, could they put him on the non-football, you know, injury list, whatever designation that would give him and the team, honestly, 4 weeks to sort of better understand what's going on and obviously help the player situation. They could do that, but I don't think they want to do that just yet because every detail has not necessarily been, I don't know, like, obviously it's not been shared publicly, but like trying to gather this has been very difficult. It's somewhat mysterious. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but like, as I said on with Dusty and Bob yesterday morning, I guess, like, Josh Simmons loves football. So why are you like, would you necessarily be quick to be like, well, until we know everything, you're just not going to play for the next 4 weeks? Well, that might not help the actual situation involving Josh Simmons, whether it's him personally or his family as a whole. So it took until Friday for a Hall of Fame coach who's been doing this for 27 years to say actually what it probably is, which is a family situation. And because of what I said earlier, well, the agent doesn't feel inclined to share anything, again, publicly or behind closed doors. The best the team has come out with is basically what Andy Reid said today, and we will see if we get another update next week. All we know is that he's not playing on Sunday against the Raiders. If you're just now tuning in, like, Josh Simmons is not playing.
Yeah, he's not here.
He's not here. Yes, to your point, we honestly don't know where he is, because now I'm sure you've heard certain things where it's like, well, is he in San Diego? Well, is he in California? Like was said on NBC. Well, is he somewhere else? It's like, I don't know. So
this is kind of where I am.
Yeah.
In all of this is, if he's not back by next Wednesday, I don't think he can play before the bye week. Like, I don't know if you could be in a situation where, like, let's say he's not back by Wednesday. Whenever they start practicing for Monday Night Football against Washington.
Right. That would be Thursday. Yeah, that'd be Thursday.
So Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would assume that he is not playing on Monday Night Football against Washington. I don't know then how, in that scenario, if Jalen Moore starts for three straight games at left tackle, you are going into your most important game.
Mm-hmm.
You can then play Josh Simmons at left tackle. Especially when you have no clue what he's been doing. You don't know if he's been working out. You don't know any of those things, because he hasn't been around, if that's the case. So if that's what we're talking about here, then if he's not back by next week and at least practicing and ramping up to play for the Buffalo game, then the official stance, at least for this show, is going to be, I don't think he should play against Buffalo. There is a bye week, and then we can reevaluate where we are after the bye week. That gives you a month's time of taking care of your personal business, doing everything that you need to do, and then are you locked in? Are you ready to come back for the second half of the season and help us go win a championship?
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense, because you do not have the level of urgency and honestly desperation that they had at the position last year. Jalen Moore, if he continues to perform the way he did against the Lions, you say, hey, that's good enough for us to be competent, to be effective against whoever we play. And then, you know, the Chiefs, I think, I don't know if there's been this misconception, but like, hey, man, it'd be nice to know, like, all the details. Well, hey, the player didn't give you all the details. Doesn't mean, like, the Chiefs can't support him properly when he comes back to the best of their abilities, whenever that time is.
At least for me, I don't care about the why, I guess. I mean, I understand people care. Like, it's not really my business. Like, I don't care about that. It's our job to talk about you at your job.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't at work.
And we don't know why.
And we have no clue of when you are coming back to work.
Mm-hmm.
If they were telling me, hey, he's just out for Sunday's game, he'll be back next week. Oh, well, so no story. Then, hey, he's come back in a couple of days. He's ready to go. Like, right now, he is gone, I would say, indefinitely. You have absolutely no clue of when he is coming back. Could that be for Monday Night Football? Is it after the bye week? Is he coming back? That's what I'm saying is.
That's
all I care about. If family issue, whatever it could possibly be, your business is your business when it comes to that. The uncertainty is, and you just alluded to it, where we all know how quick, like, look at the NFL. Man, injuries are racking up left and right. You are one rolled up ankle away from being in the exact same situation that you were in last year that you have done everything to avoid possibly being in.
Yeah, but you spend all this time evaluating Josh, getting his family background, getting his college background, talking to as many people as you can, because he honestly plays one of the most valuable positions, and he arguably plays the second most valuable position on your team, given who the quarterback is. So I would lean on understanding, on caution, on cooler heads prevailing, which is directly to your point, Carrington. Hey, if he comes back, we don't need to rush you, okay? We will give you all the support you need. We will have more conversations to better understand your circumstances if that is necessary. And then, hey, when we come back from the bye week, let's see how you're doing physically, along with whatever's going on, maybe mentally, psychologically, you know, all these things are included because we're all human beings. He's so talented, Carrington, that this is also a reason why we have to ask. guys, he is the absolute solution to their biggest problem on their roster. That's why this is important too. You essentially lucked into this because he had an injury and because every team that was in the postseason last year, once you got certain past a certain point in the first round of the draft, said, I mean, we could take him, but like, he's not going to play for us because we already got a left tackle, or we already feel good about that position. And so you even got to trade down a spot, and not only has he been in football since a godsend, he's exceeded every expectations from the moment you selected him. And if you want to win a championship, the easiest path towards doing that is him getting better over the course of the season whenever he comes back, because he is that talented. He is a Pro Bowl caliber player already, and he's probably, if he stays on the field, if everything goes the way it's been going over the first 5 weeks of the season, he's going to progress towards perhaps an all-pro player at the position. That's how good he is. That's how valuable he is to your team compared to every other team in the league, and you don't know all the details as to why he left the team. That's why it's important.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up on the other side, I want to give you my thoughts on this rivalry and how we've seen it change over the course of our lifetime. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh boy, threw me off guard. My bad, Juju. I got a false start more recently than Juwan Taylor did. I'm sorry there. My bad. All right, Nate, you and I are both from Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
So we remember what Raider Week was like when we were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a little one that's into football.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know Raider Week the way that you and I.
He didn't even talk about the Raiders.
Because it's not one of their most important games anymore.
No.
This is the point that I made. It kind of has reached a point where, like, in a college rivalry, like, this is, I imagine, how KU fans felt about Missouri.
Mm.
Beating you guys does nothing for us.
It's cool.
Losing to you guys means everything.
Yeah, right.
So it's just not the reward of playing you because we don't get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes has beat the Raiders 12 times.
Jeez.
We don't talk about any of the wins against the Raiders.
No.
Ever. We don't play highlights from them. We don't play clips from them. We don't see anything from them. Beating the Raiders for Patrick Mahomes is not a big deal. He's lost to the Raiders twice. We know all the details about losing to the Raiders. The one time they lost, they drove the bus around the stadium. The second time they lost, it was Christmas. Just think about that.
Yeah.
We never talk about the wins against the Raiders because beating the Raiders just doesn't matter. Sure, you don't want to lose to them. It's a division opponent. I get all of that. But you guys, you feel a certain level of pride when they beat Cincinnati. When they beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, if they had beat Philadelphia in week two, you would have felt something about it. They're 12.5-point favorites against the Raiders. What are we doing in here?
And again, if you're just tuning in, Brock Bowers, doubtful. Perhaps their best player on offense. You know, he is their best player on offense.
Winning doubtful for the Raiders.
My son Hayden is 10 years old, ladies and gentlemen. He is now fully ingrained into fantasy football. Like, basically, my fantasy football team is now – you know, he's the assistant general manager. He's asking, like, hey, can we trade for Ladd McConkey?
And I'm
like,
you got a Chris Ballard?
Yeah, pretty much. No,
you got a Chris Ballard.
He was like, thank God we got Bijan Robinson. So he asked me about all these players in fantasy football. Hayden asked me about one Raider. Not one. If I asked Hayden who the best player on the Raiders, he would not know. Obviously, it's Max Crosby. That's how much this rivalry has basically become subdued. We remember, it's so funny you talking about the game where they did circles around the bus. The reason I remember that game is only because of that, but because it angered Patrick and the team so much that they never lost another game that regular season. Not with the starters. They lost, like, what, week 17, week 18 or whatever it
they
was.
Always lose that game because they playing for nothing.
Playing nobody. So, like, they got so upset. They're like, you know what? Not losing again. It was so fun because Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson made it fun, made it a backbone to being a fan, understanding Lamar Hunt's desire to always want to beat the Raiders because of that AFL startup, because they were so polar opposites in terms of, like, the brand, right? The Chiefs were like, hey, we're the team that is, you know, upstanding. And I'm just saying it from their perspective. Like, we're the team that's upstanding. We're the team that has, you know, Willie Lanier and Buck Buchanan. And, like, we got all the, like, Lynn Dawson and Otis Taylor. And look at those, you know, insert whatever phrase you want, insert whatever term you want to call for the Raiders, who were literally leaning into that. And that was one of the reasons why they were successful with John Madden, with obviously Al Davis. Like, there's so much of a rich texture to the rivalry that is essentially not any of that in today's time.
I know this isn't going to make sense based off of what we just saw on Sunday Night Football, but, you know, you and I grew up watching, a lot of us grew up watching those NFL films.
Yeah.
And they just show, like, the fights among the years between the Chiefs and the Raiders. We don't watch sports with the anticipation that a fight could ever break out. Like, it would be crazy if a fight could break out. So that's what I mean, like, when it comes to the Raiders just don't have many villains because there's not a lot of villains now in sports. Like,
sure,
you don't like Max Crosby. I mean, I guess I wouldn't consider Max Crosby to be a villain. He seems like a cool guy. Like a guy
great human being.
Yeah, like a guy I want to hang out with. Like, so, like, part of the rivalry is, like, you looked at the Raiders for, like, everything that was wrong with the league. They were the silver and black and Al Davis and
the rebels of the league. Yes.
Yeah, they're not that anymore.
No.
They're just a bad franchise. And they've been a bad franchise for basically our entire adult life. They've been bad. Like, there has not been a time since you and I have been adults that we thought that the Raiders could win the Super Bowl. We're almost 40.
Yes, I know.
They're terrible.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, and again, we don't talk about it in the same way because the Browns are the Browns. But, like, when you get to the Raiders and their list of quarterbacks, ooh, buddy, that's a list. And
that's who the Raiders are. They're the Browns with slot machines. That's who they are.
Picking high in the draft. Another quarterback.
I'm not really a mock draft guy. I mean, they're fun, but I don't really keep up with them in that way. But I remember that year. Remember that year they drafted Cleveland Farrell? And I remember thinking, like, at four? Like, every mock draft I saw, I had him at, like, 26, and you guys took him at four? That's when I realized, like, why are we talking about this team? Why are we worried about them?
Right. Their best – I would say the Raiders' best attribute, the best thing they had, which is not quite saying a ton, is when they had John Gruden. And kids, we can't let him back in the league for obvious reasons that we don't need to explain.
I kind of do like him on social media.
Of course.
I kind of do like him there.
I mean, he's got personality. He's got a style. He's got a little bit of rebel in him too. And so the last time the Raiders were successful, Tom Brady was a first-year starting quarterback. That's crazy to me, man. That they're like the, you know, in some ways, the league's decision to have a tuck rule in general, let alone let it decide who went to the championship game, is nuts. And that is the demarcating line for the Raiders' history ever since. Ever since the tuck rule, they have not been the same team. And they did try to bring some of that back when they got John Gruden to come back aboard. But then, you know, he was out here doing wild things. Yeah, man, we can't have you back in the league, dog. We just, you know, it was fun, but we cannot have this.
You know what? All we need him to do is just keep giving us the quarterback camps. I enjoy when he does the quarterback. He's fantastic.
Incredible. I mean, in terms of football mind, if we could just harness John Gruden's football mind but not have to worry about all the extracurriculars, great. I mean, like, I love the way he thinks compared to, like, Kyle Shanahan, compared to Andy Reid. Like, he is one of those pillars from an offensive schematic standpoint, considering that they were, you know, buddies. I mean, they still are friends, him and Andy Reid. But, like, you know, they kind of came up together under, who was it? You know, they were in, what was it? They were in San Francisco. Then there was some San Francisco connection with the West Coast, obviously. And then, obviously, in Green Bay with why can't I think of the coach's name right now? This is bad. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Mike Holmgren, thank you. Yes. So they came up together under Mike Holmgren. I mean, there's Steve Mariucci in the mix, man. They had it rolling. And then, you know, Steve Mariucci went to Detroit and it went bad. And then John Gruden did John Gruden things that are not anywhere comparable to Andy Reid. But they're still buddies. So now we have Pete Carroll, who I thought was, hey, competent coach. Hey, Geno Smith. Ooh. Competent quarterback. And then you're like, oh yeah, that's right, the rest of the roster stinks. So
that's basically where we are. A big thing to me, at least with the Raiders, and I know we're up against it, Rob, is, you know, I thought the Raiders could be good this year because I trusted the foundation of their offense. Geno Smith, Ashton Jeanty, and Brock Bowers.
Yep.
Geno has more interceptions than touchdowns. Jeanty's averaging 4 yards a carry. Brock Bowers is hurt. That explains why the Raiders are one of the bottom 8 teams in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, I want to play a very quick game with you, Nate Taylor. We'll do that. I also want to get your thoughts on the kicker. Every week, I got to ask a question about their kicker. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, Nate Taylor, we're going to put you to the test here. You remember the game we used to play with quarterbacks where you would have to name all of the team's quarterbacks in a 30-second time frame?
Yes.
We're going to play that same game with the Las Vegas Raiders / Oakland Raiders, but this time with head coaches.
Oh!
They have had 13 different head coaches since 2005. Rob, they have had 13 different head coaches over the last 20 seasons.
That's crazy.
Think about that. That's nuts that that is the case.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. We're going to give you 30 seconds.
Oh.
Rob, how many do you think he's going to get out of Raiders head coaches the last 20 years?
I'm gonna put Nate at 6. I feel like he's about half.
I was going to set the over-under at 4.5.
4, dog.
I was
going to
set the over-under at 4.5.
Four.
I mean,
at least one's a layup. There's two layups.
Yeah, two layups. Yeah.
That's how I feel you're going to get to 6.
Okay, so this includes Pete Carroll. So you already got one off the rip.
Yeah, we talked about Gruden.
He thinks you're going to get it. All right, hold on. We got to hit the music.
Sorry.
Over under. Text line real quick. 913-586-7965. We're sending the over under at 5.5, Rob, or 4.5? What are we sending at?
I'm sending 5.5.
5.5. You're taking the over.
Oh, boy.
You know what? You my dog. I'm going to bet on you. I'm going to take the over under here. All right. 30 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Pete Carroll, Gruden, Jack Del Rio, Hugh Jackson. Why can't I think of the most recent one before John Gruden? This is so bad. So bad. So bad. It's just so bad. Was it Dennis Allen? Dennis Allen was one, right? Hey, is that 5? Okay, I need one more. Freak. No!
Who was the one he said there was? So right now I have you down for Hugh Jackson, Dennis Allen, Gruden, and Carroll. I feel like I missed one.
So Hugh Jackson, Jack Del Rio.
Jack Del Rio. Are you ready?
Yeah.
These have been the 13 coaches for the Raiders over the last 20 seasons. These are the ones you did not name. Norv Turner, Art Shell.
Art Shell was in 2000.
Lane.
2005.
Lane Kiffin was a head coach for them. Tom Cable. You remember they had Tony Sparano.
Oh, yeah.
They had Rich Basia, I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
The special teams coach, yes.
Basaccia, my bad.
Apologies. Because he took over whenever they fired that. They fired Josh McDaniels. You didn't say Josh McDaniels, who was the head coach for them.
I deleted that from my memory.
Antonio Pierce. Those have been the head coaches.
Oh,
for
yeah. Well, I think of Antonio Pierce. He was at training camp.
Last season, he was the head coach.
They put him in all red at training camp. They're like, you need red shorts, red t-shirt. Red.
Oh, they was going crazy. Hey, Kool-Aid. They wasn't playing around.
They're like, you want to have a couple days with Spags? You know what you need to do? By the way, Antonio played for Steve Spagnuolo when they were a member of the Giants, the team that beat Tom Brady's undefeated Patriots. Hey, in order for you to come to St. Joe, you'd be wearing all red.
Hey, you got
to
denounce those Raiders. You got to denounce them. A great way to end this is let's just talk about the kicker. I feel stuck in a lot of ways. I feel stuck because I just don't know what's going to happen. Let's say he misses two kicks this week. Are they bringing in to work somebody out? Or are they going to fake put him an injury to put him on the injured reserve list? Like, right now, the plan is just let them figure it out. Well, okay, then let's just let them figure it out.
Let's say he misses either another extra point, which he missed badly in the win over the Detroit Lions last week, or he misses a field goal that's, like, say, under 45 yards.
I'd be stunned if he's not kicking in Buffalo. Like I'd be stunned.
A makeable kick, right, for the average NFL kicker. Guys, he's been performing either at or slightly below the average NFL kicker, just to keep that in mind. He is the league's highest paid kicker based on his accolades over the last 5 years. I think option two is probably more likely.
Or you think just ghost injury?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. I mean, I've said it out loud, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the way it works is I get a... I mean, you could Google this as to who is the head trainer of your Kansas City Chiefs. I can just take a piece of paper, get a little pen, click, click. Okay, hey, Harrison, Yeah, come meet with me for a minute, man. I'm going to show you a body part on this piece of paper. I want you to point to it and say where it hurt. Because you get 4 weeks if we do IR.
Okay, this will be my question if they do that. I'm not saying that's outside the realm of possibility. What if the replacement is good?
Hey, buddy, we've reached the 4 week point of your IR. I want you to look at this sheet of paper again and point to me where it hurts.
That's why I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think you open yourself up to a controversy because you're right. If they do that, and we know teams do that all the time,
right?
We put people on IR, right? That happens. Teams manipulate the IR that way, and you can bring a guy back.
Correct.
If they get somebody else and he is better than Harrison Butker, are they then going back to Harrison Butker once it gets cold outside? I don't know if that's the case. That's why I think they're going to ride this thing until this thing absolutely breaks down or it fixes itself. But at least this season. Next year, it's a different beast. Because then you're closer to being able to get out of it.
Correct.
But at this point, there is no getting out of Harrison Butker's contract. You don't really have a choice right now.
Have you seen this offense, Carrington? I mean, if the offense keeps getting better and every drive essentially is going to be past midfield with this offense, this offensive line. Hey, bro, points matter. So it's a ruthless game, kids. Don't ever forget this. The NFL is ruthless. Hey, bud, point. Is it your ankle? Give us something logical. Is it foot? You want to say lower back? Everybody got back issues. You want to say knee? Well, you did have a procedure on it last year, so we could just give me something.
How much of it do you think is mental versus physical? If you had to guess. Or from people you're talking to.
My question, though, in that is, he's not, based on the trajectory of kickers in the modern era, he's not at the cliff in terms of, like, where your prime is.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it would be mental outside of something else going on. So I would, out of respect for Harrison Butker, I would say it's got to be something physical. I would say more so than mental, because the guy has been absolutely the most secure kicker when your season's on the line, when you're trying to get the one seed, when you're trying to get to the Super Bowl, and when you need the field goal that either wins the Super Bowl or puts the Super Bowl in overtime. He's made every one of those kicks. So you got to be mentally sharp and be technically sound in order to do that, and just have confidence. And so you could say, well, maybe that's a confidence issue. Maybe that's somewhat mental, but I, like, you can't miss that extra point the way he missed it on Sunday and be like, what is that? So I, out of respect, I'll say physical, which again is why I would, you know, again, if he misses next 2 weeks, like you said, if he ain't kicking in Buffalo, hey man, this is the NFL. We got an offense. So if I bring in another kicker who is either at average or slightly above average because he's trying to prove that he deserves to be in the league, which means we might actually get an increase in terms of percentage-wise from field goals. Hey, I'm bringing it in. I'm bringing them in. Yeah, hey.
And I mean, I think at least one point, I know we're up against it, Rob. I think another part in all of this is we talk about how expensive he is. He ain't really that expensive compared to other positions on the field. Like, we're talking about them eating $10 million, which I know sounds like a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Every team in the NFL is willing to eat $10 million. If we can find somebody else that can be better than you at your position, that happens literally all the time.
Even if it's for a couple months, right? But let's say you get back like you did last year. You came back in mid-December, and he was excellent again. So if for whatever reason, you got to sit down for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And if you come back and be the guy you was last year, then okay. But, like, in order to do that, hey, they said we can't bring nobody in just because you're the highest paid player at your position.
I want to ask you this really quickly. Someone brought this up, and it's a really good point. Andy was aggressive in a way that he hasn't been on fourth down.
Yes.
How much of that you think is Harrison Butker related?
Yes.
Okay.
And, I mean, look at the offense.
I saw one thing. I forgot who it was. It was like 89 times the Chiefs had been in this sequence.
Yeah, that was my buddy Sam McDowell.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember who it was. Colin. But I saw it was like 89 times they've been in. It's the first time they've ever gone for it there. And I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Excellent piece by Sam McDowell that took a lot of research the night after the game. But he should do that because the offense is like almost a spaceship, and they're about to include Rashee Rice. And ladies and gentlemen, like you didn't need to know this, but I'll just say it right now. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on fourth down. You can look at any statistical trend over the last 3 years. He is the best quarterback on fourth down. And somebody finally got to Andy Reid because, in part, hey, man, it's not a guaranteed three once we get past the opponent's 40-yard line.
That was our guy, Nate Taylor of ESPN, joining us on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got a lot to get into. We got the latest, at least, regarding to the stadium. We caught up with Jonathan Ketz earlier today with Fox 4 to get his thoughts on everything. We take a trip to Las Vegas to get you ready for Sunday's matchup against the Raiders. We got a great weekend of college football. A very busy show here on The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.